Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening once again to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, I had some calls today. I said I shouldn't have ended the broadcast early last night. Well, I beg to differ with you folks. It became obvious that every time that I answered the phone, that clown was going to be on the other end. And so that was the end of the show. That was the end of it. And I've been through all of that before. Whenever somebody crazy starts messing around with the broadcast, then there's only really one thing you can do. Just go to something else, which I was not prepared for at the time, or close out the broadcast and go about my business. And that's what I chose to do. And then I had somebody call and say, how could you treat a friend like that? This guy's no friend. You people haven't been famous. Or maybe some of you have. And if you have, you know exactly how it is. I met this guy about 7 years ago at a conference I was speaking at in San Diego. And he and his wife seemed very nice, and they wanted to sit down at the table and talk with us. So they did. We sat down and talked for, I guess, about 45 minutes. Haven't seen him or heard from him since. 7 years ago. I'm having a broadcast. I make it clear on the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, that I want to talk about the Norman Griggs speech that you heard the night before and last night. That was the topic. He calls up to ask me if he can call up. And just takes the broadcast totally away from its intended purpose, and then keeps calling back. Friends don't do those kinds of things, ladies and gentlemen. And then after I told him, you know, you can call me, told him the times that he could call. Well, he and his friends kept calling for the rest of the night. For the rest of the night. And I just kept hanging up on him, or not answering the phone. And then this clown calls today. I try to be nice to him because I told him that he could call during that time. But I couldn't even be nice to him. He wanted me to do all his work for him. He wanted me to research Anthony Robbins and give him a complete report on who Anthony was and who all his contacts were and what organizations he belonged to and all that kind of stuff. Well, needless to say, I hung up on him again. And I hope he never calls me again, ever. You know, I just hate that. I don't know what your definition of friendship is, but to me, friends are tried over a long period of time. You know them really well. You can trust them. Or at least you think you can. You feel that you can. And friends are people who are there when the chips are down. Where was this clown when we needed him? Friend my butt. You know, he was an acquaintance at best. At the very best. This happens to famous people all the time. And whether you like it or not, I'm a famous person. Or infamous, if you choose that term. I don't care which. P.T. Barnum once said, it doesn't matter whether the publicity is good or bad, as long as you have it. And I got plenty of it, folks. President of the United States called me the most dangerous radio host in America, and the fat man read it on his Excellence in Broadcasting show. That makes me the king. The king! And aside from the fact that I don't ever want to see a king in America, I'm pretty proud of that. Nope, you're fixing to hear from a friend of mine in just a few minutes. In fact, he should be calling about right now. He's the guest for tonight's broadcast. And we're going to be talking about some things. He's tried. He's true. He's been tested. I can trust him. He does good research. We don't always agree on things, but we know how to talk about it and hold a conversation or even an argument, if you will, without insulting each other, because we respect each other and we respect each other's work. I love to have intelligent people around me, whether they agree with me or not, and I love to have long conversations with people like that. Most of my friends fit into that category, men or women. And it's wonderful. But boy, we get some nuts call in on this broadcast, I got to tell you. And that's not fun. It's not cool. I don't like it. And just won't put up with it. And I resent someone who talked to me for 45 minutes 7 years ago, interrupting my broadcast, saying that he's my friend, making sure that he says his name over the air so everybody can hear it. That's what he was really out for. He wanted the whole world, and he probably told some of his buddies that he was a friend of mine. And he wanted them to hear it on the air. So he completely screwed last night's broadcast, for which he thought I should thank him. Hey, kiss it, buddy. You're talking to the wrong guy. There's no reason why you couldn't have called me at that same number today during the daytime, and none of this would have ever happened. Nope, you had to say your name on the air, disrupt my broadcast, and then keep calling back like a stupid fool. And then after the broadcast was over, keep calling all night long. After I'd made it clear that I don't like people to call me at night, unless it's a real emergency. Incredible. Just incredible, folks. Well, tonight we're going to have a guest as soon as he calls. I don't know why he hasn't called yet, unless his clock is way off. But as soon as he calls, we're going to have a guest. And until then, let's get some sort of set the mood music. My old CD player, folks, it had an automatic fade out on it. You push a button and it would fade out the music over about 5 seconds. good evening. Is that you?
Yes, Bill.
How are you doing?
I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Why don't you tell our audience who you are?
Well, my name is Jay Reynolds, and I'm a friend of Bill's. Bill Cooper, that is.
And he can legitimately say that because it's absolutely true.
I hope so. I hope it'll stay that way. And I've been studying the contrails now more intensely over the past 10 months, 11 months, but I've been watching it for actually 3 years now.
And the hysteria is getting worse, isn't it?
Among some people, it is.
Some of the smarter ones, are they beginning to catch on?
Yes, I'd say, Bill, what I've noticed is that a lot of people who are leading it at first, they're nowhere to be seen. They've disappeared completely, and I don't think they've been bumped off or anything. I think they I think they just kind of quietly went away a little bit embarrassed.
Sure, I think they went away a lot embarrassed, probably, and don't want any more attention than what they probably had. But that's to their credit that they've not stayed and tried to argue a bad point.
Well, I can't say that for all of them, though, because in that weeding out process, what's actually happened is the people who've made this contrails thing almost a religion, they have come to be the spokesman at this time.
Yeah. And we know who the high priest is.
Well, I guess you could say there's probably several. It's coming from a lot of different angles, but the main mouthpiece would probably be William Thomas.
Ah, the high priest. Yes, that was my choice. I have it written down right here on my tablet. I just wanted to see if you were going to match my choice. What's he up to now?
Well, he was on Art Bell's program last night.
Art Bullshit Bell.
That's right. Art Ding-a-ling Bell.
Yes, or Ding-dong Bell, or Ring Your Bell. one of these nights we'll do a program just to see how many adjectives we can get to describe Mr. Bell. But go ahead. What did he do on the Ding-dong Bell show?
I really don't know, Bill. I really can't stay up that late at night, and it's not on the computer at this time, not yet. So I'll just have to wait and see. But you can probably, from what he's said in the past, it will be completely undocumented, unsourced, but very, very big.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happened. You see, I've been getting calls from people who listened to that broadcast. And here's what they tell me. How can you keep on ragging on the contrails when Mr. Thomas was just on the Art Bell show and he proved it? Well, how did he prove it? What? How did he prove it? He proved it on the air. I said, how did he prove it? What is the documentation? He said he had analysis and he said he had proof. Did he show any of it to you? No, it was radio. I couldn't see it. Have you sent for copies of it? No, but I'm going to. I said, you're lying to me. You're not going to. You're just going to believe what he said. You see, I've been bugging William Thomas for years to send me copies of all his analysis and documents and proof, and he keeps saying he's going to do it, and he tells people that on radio programs when they call in and ask him to do it, but he never has and never will. Those are the calls I've been getting. And they say, well, we think you're mistaken.
Well, for 8 or 10 months, we've been hearing about these analysis and hundreds of photos showing tankers spraying with their tail booms pointing down at 9,000 feet altitude, but there has been nothing ever shown at all.
Yeah.
So I imagine the latest will probably be the same. It'll probably sound real big, but we really won't find out anything that you could look at or confirm or verify.
Who's doing the spraying?
Well, I don't believe there's any spraying.
Oh, but let's pretend that there is. Who's doing it?
Oh, let's see.
Let's entertain a flight of fancy here.
Okay, if we're going to speculate, which is basically what it all is, I guess you would say that it's depends on who you listen to. There's a fellow who's been putting out a lot. His name is Bill.
Oh! Oh, my God! Oh, the sticky stuff is all over me. Oh, man, my thumb is dissolving. Oh, man, what am I going to do? You go ahead and talk, Jay. I got to jump in the shower.
It depends on who you listen to. One fellow named Al Tuffet, he's supposedly a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The only problem is I've never heard a rank mentioned. I really anything that proves that he ever was a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But anyway, he says it's foreign troops flying back and forth over all the major cities and the countryside.
Really? Where are they getting their airplanes?
Good question.
And how come a lot of them say Pan American and Virgin, British Virgin Airlines and, you know, all of these things?
Well, if you ask a fellow named Clarence Napier, just south of you in Phoenix, he'll say that there's a base on the Gila River Indian Reservation. And there's white United Nations planes there that are doing all the spraying.
Oh, I've already checked that one out. That's bullshit.
I checked it out, too. And you know what is on that Indian reservation?
Go ahead, Jay.
Well, there's a junkyard.
That's right.
And there's a bunch of DC-7 40-year-old planes that have been junked out.
Yep.
And they're being,
rotting in the desert.
They're being cannibalized to keep three or four of them in the air to fight fires for the Forest Service.
Mm-hmm.
And they do drop a red liquid to put out fires.
That's correct.
But
it's a firefighting base. We have several of them in Arizona because we have large expanses of forest, and we have forest fires every summer, just like clockwork. And they're not all painted white, and they're not the planes that you see flying all over the United States spraying anything. When they take off, which is rare because they can't afford to fuel them and maintain them and take them off, it's when we're having raging forest fires and the state gives special funds so that these planes can operate.
Yeah, that ended up as a dead end, but it did make a nice little story, and it sort of embarrassed Clarence a little bit.
Well, should have.
You see, he never even bothered to call the people up.
Never
even bothered to ask the Indian reservation about it.
Nobody ever does bother to check anything.
He did drive around and looked with a telescope, and he saw some white planes, but I guess he was scared or something.
Well, what he saw were some planes. And in the sunlight, they may have looked like they were all white, but I guarantee you they're not.
So, if you ask William Thomas, he says it's the Air Force. He says it's KC-135 refueling tankers.
Really? Now, the real wackos around in this town, you know, they point to every contrail in the sky, and we can take telescopes out, binoculars out, and look at these planes, even though they're flying high, and we can tell which ones are military and which ones are civilians, and they're all making contrails. And they claim that, you know, that you can't tell that civilian airliners aren't spraying. They claim that it's all of them.
Well, you know, I've got a funny story about that, Bill.
Go ahead.
In my quest to get information, I made a bet with the contrail people. I said, they didn't want me to keep talking. They wanted to shut me up. So I made a bet with them, a dare. I said, if you can find 10 pilots that fly at high altitudes that would agree with you, I'll shut up and I'll never say another word. Well,
I think they're still trying to get you, Jerry. I'm wearing a raincoat and a gas mask.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't take me up on the offer. In fact, they said they wouldn't even try. And so I decided, well, I'll try for you. So I went on the internet and I located every pilot's bulletin board and message board that I could. And I started asking them. I said, come and take a look at these pictures. Come and tell these people what you think. Well, I'm sure a lot of them saw it, and a lot of them just said it's a waste of my time. But a few of them started to post to the message boards that the contrail people visit.
Uh-huh.
And they told them, look, you're not making any sense. We are in the air all the time. We make the contrails. These are pilots for a American Airlines and Delta and Pan Am.
Sure, sure.
But anyway, a few of them, British fellows and Australian, I believe, they decided they would pull a little stunt. So they sent in a message to one of these contrail message boards on the internet, and they came up with a real concocted story of how all commercial planes are fitted with these special spraying apparatus, and it was fairly detailed, and they said they were sorry about what they'd been doing. They'd been doing it for 30 years, is what the man said. Well, it was obviously a hoax, and some of the things that they said didn't make any sense. A lot of people knew it was a hoax, but anyway, one of the Contrail website owners wrote back because they left an email address. Of course, if you were admitting something like that, you probably wouldn't leave your email address.
No, of course not.
Well, anyway,
I'm killing people.
Webmaster named Clifford Carnicom, he's over in Santa Fe. He sent back a message saying, "Oh, I want to put your story on the front page of my webpage." Well, they started laughing about it a little more, but they decided, well, this was so easy, we'll play it a little step farther. So they posted a little schematic on their message board that looked pretty convincing. In fact, they had labeled it spraying this and actuator, and they had a whole system that they'd made up.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big hoax. Well, Clifford Carnicom bought the whole thing, and they're grasping for anything they can find.
Sure.
And there's no discernment, there's no
Why is this so important to them? I don't understand that, Jay. Anybody can prove that they're full of crap and that this is all a big lie, but they just have to hang on to it. What's wrong with these people?
I think that it's in some, there is a small segment of the population that will believe anything. We've got 260 million and
sheeple.
And
that's why
out of that number, there's somebody that will believe just about anything you come up with.
Yeah, that's why we call them sheeple.
And with some people, it seems to be especially related to, well, I don't want to embarrass too many of them, but I think some of them are hypochondriacs. They are sick from one reason or another, and they're looking for an answer.
Yeah, but it's not just this contrail thing. It's not just getting sick.
No.
I mean, what about the millions of Chinese communist troops poised to attack us across the Mexican border?
And I think that one's still being bandied about.
Yeah, and the 24 divisions of Russian crack Spetsnaz troops that are hovering just over the Canadian border, waiting to come across and sweep through the United States.
The comet that's supposed to hit the Earth in 2 days or 3 days from now.
Yeah, there's about two or three of those every year.
they seem to have an ending point, though, and then everybody looks silly and they forget that they ever said it.
Yeah, until 3 months later when the next one's coming. Oh, it's incredible. My golly, I just can't figure it out. Well, fasten your seatbelt, Jay. I think we're getting ready to taxi down the end of the runway.
Go for a ride?
Yeah, let's go for a little ride. Don't worry, I paid for our tickets.
This is your visitor, Captain speaking. I want to welcome you all aboard Flight 2637-4218 Spray Job. Be sure to observe the no smoking sign and buckle your seatbelts, and shortly our stewardess will give you your emergency instruction. But in the meantime, I want to inform you that if you see us losing altitude during our flight, we will be dropping down to around 10,000 feet to spray poison chemicals, germs, bugs, parasites, poison, on the population of your cities. So it's a good thing that you're on this plane today, and we hope you enjoy your flight. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first officer, William Thomas. I'm on here for the special spray run. Your captain is Hugh Gordon Liddy. If you experience any problems during flight, some of the spray might have leaked into the cabin, and a mask will drop down, which you place over your behind, and take a deep breath.
Well, Jay, I think it's time for us to hit the silk. You got your parachute on?
Strapped and ready.
Okay, let's jump out of this thing.
Here we go. Geronimo!
Well, do you think that's what's happening on these airlines flights, Jay?
I doubt it, Bill. I think it's Grandma and Grandpa going to see the grandkids, and Mr. Business going to Detroit, and couples going on the honeymoon, and people are down there on the ground, and they're scared to death. I've actually got word that people, when they see contrails, they go in their house, they seal their windows with tape, and they're on the floor praying.
Now, how about these people? That's sad.
It is. It really is. And the people that are drumming it up, they really are guilty of that. They caused that.
That is really sad. People are terrorized by these fools. I understand that there's some pretty prominent radio people jumping on this bandwagon, too. Do you know who those are?
Well, let's see. Of course, we got Art Bell.
Yeah?
We've got Jeff Rentz.
Is he the...
There's a number of small ones, but Bill Broombaugh. We've got Jackie Petru.
That's no surprise.
Clayton Douglas.
I know he's run a couple of cover stories in his magazine. I wasn't aware that he was doing on his radio show, too.
He's interviewed Thomas at least once or maybe twice.
And he's never asked Thomas to present any proof?
Well, I have not been able to contact Clayton Douglas. I've written him numerous times, and other than at the very beginning, he's never responded back. In fact, all those names that I mentioned, I referred them a few weeks ago to my website, asked them to review it completely, and they there were very few of them that ever responded. None of them had changed their minds at all. One in particular that I didn't mention before, you may not know him, or maybe you do. His name is Chuck Schramack.
Never heard of him.
Well,
in fact, I'm not sure who this Jeff guy is that you were talking about. Is he the sightings guy?
That's it.
Okay.
Now, Chuck Schramack is real interesting. When he responded to me by email, he said that he was the guy who got the comet called killed in California. He was the one that started the Hale-Bopp deal.
Jeez.
he was the guy who got the comet called killed in California. He's the one that started the Hale-Bopp deal.
Jeez. Well, I don't think he's the one that got him killed. I think Art Bell probably had a hell of a lot to do with that.
Well, as far as the promotion of it, but the one who came up with the idea that there was a spacecraft following the Hale-Bopp comet was Chuck Schramek.
Yeah, but you and I both know that nobody in the whole world would have ever known that if Art Bell hadn't have taken him on the show and promoted it, and not only promoted it that night, but kept on every night talking about and getting updates on the news of the alien spacecraft that's hiding right behind the Hale-Bopp comet.
Right.
You remember that, don't you?
Sure, I do. And I've been interested in Schramek because there's something new among the Contrail folks that's supposed to come up later this month.
What's that?
They're scheduling a nationwide protest.
And you want to know why people call everybody, you know, why nobody wants to listen to any of us? This kind of stuff just makes everybody look like the biggest bunch of fools. And, of course, nobody takes the time to weed out the fools from the legitimate good people. And do you think that maybe that's what this is really all about?
Well,
or at least partly. Yeah.
But still, the effect is what you're saying. Whether it's intentional or not, it does have that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, the November the 20th, they're going to march in a number of cities around the country. I doubt if Mark Bell will be there. But they are calling for Bill Clinton's resignation, which is not such a bad thing. But they're doing it over the contrail.
Oh, good Lord, save me, please. Hey, this is just absolutely incredible, Jay. I don't know what I'm going to do about this because it's just driving me completely, absolutely out of my rabbit mind, if you know what I mean. And
Well, do you get many letters on contrail?
Yeah, I get lots of them. Throw them right in the trash can. I think it's this guy that's doing it, to tell you the truth. I think he's the one.
As the night dies in,
I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife.
Sure he does. That's why he's gone all the time.
It's lonely out of me. On such a time, I am left right.
Hey, Bob, look at that guy up there with the rocket strapped on his butt making contrails. I'm getting sick. I'm just getting so sick from this. It's falling all over me. Look, Ma, I got it on my nose. It's dripping.
I don't understand.
Look, Bart, he's writing something in the sky there. Ah, look. It says, A. E. That's help, Paul. He's saying, help. Look, he's rising to help. I in. Oh, I said help. I can't get this damn rocket off of my air. Oh, Ma, we gotta help her. Bring me my shotgun. Shot him right out of the sky, dead.
Is that what they're going to do next, Jay?
Oh, I sure hope not, Bill.
I hope not, too.
I tell you, you have to wonder, that has been mentioned. That has been mentioned in anonymous message board postings. And who knows?
Wouldn't that be a good reason for the government coming around everybody all up?
Well, no, that's kind of funny, you know. The contrail people that have websites, they are able to tell who visits their websites. And
yeah, we all are. I have that too.
I do too. And what they find out is that they're getting visits by the Air Force. They're getting visits by senators. They're getting visits by airplane companies and scientists and hospitals. Well, they make quite a big deal out of that. In fact, some of them say that that's the biggest proof there is.
No,
something going on.
You got to remember, there's human beings working at all of those places, and that's probably one of the biggest comedy shows on the internet. They'd probably get a hell of a big laugh out of it, but some of the intelligence organizations and law enforcement people are probably there legitimately trying to determine when these people are going to shoot some plane out of the sky.
It's possible. Now, I know that, that has been mentioned, so you can bet there is a very good reason for law enforcement to visit those sites. Now, there's something else that most of them really haven't realized. On almost all of the websites, people call for call your congressman, make complaints to the FAA. Well, when they make complaints to their congressman, the congressman's going to go look.
Yeah, he wants to know, what's this all about?
The congressman's going to call the Air Force. He's going to say, you go take a look.
Yeah.
Well, the Air Force, they're going to call the reserve and say, you go take a look.
Sure.
And pretty soon.
Pretty soon they're telling their friends, hey, man, you want to get a good laugh? Go visit this website. It's a belly josh word. And so the word spreads.
Well,
they do their duty, and then it becomes a joke.
There's one other thing. On all websites, you get publicity by search engines.
Mm-hmm.
And for a search engine to find you, you put a string of keywords on your web page.
Sure.
And on your web page, I'm sure you've got Illuminati, Mason, all kinds of different things there.
No, I don't do that, Jay. If you don't believe me, go look at the pages. We don't do that.
Okay. Well,
we don't need to. We don't even list with web with search engines.
Well, they found you anyway.
Yeah.
They go crawling around with a spider and find you.
Yeah, they do.
But anyway, so anyone who is a scientist and they're looking for information on clouds, they'll find their contrail page and they'll click on it and take a look.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of legitimate reasons why someone would go and take a look at those web pages, but they make a very big deal out of it.
Sure. I used to have thousands of hits every month from almost every Air Force base and every Air Force computer in the nation. And the reason was I had the most complete listing of Air Force websites on our website than the Air Force did anywhere. So instead of going through Air Force websites to find other Air Force websites, they just came to mine and found where they wanted to go.
Well, speaking of the Air Force, Bill, you know what the name of the Air Force online newspaper is for families and Air Force people?
No, I'm not. I probably have it on our webpage, but I'm not acquainted with the name of it, no.
The name of their magazine is Contrails.
Okay, yeah.
So every Air Force base, when somebody wants to look at the service magazine, they go to a search engine, and they punch in Contrails. You know where they're going to go? They're going to go to one of 40 or 50 pages that talk about
Contrails.
So there's another reason.
Anyway, who's making all the? Somebody's got to be making money off all this, because these guys aren't just wasting all their time doing this and, you know, without getting some kind of reward. I'm talking about the leaders, not everybody, but.
Yeah, I will say that there's a lot that are not making money off of it, but there are some, and I did a little research on that a couple of weeks ago, and did some searching. Excuse me, and I was able to find 1, 2, 3, about 20 different products that you can buy for Contrails.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything from books to videos, T-shirts, air filters, herbal chemical detox formulas, of course, contributions to William Thomas.
Do you think that maybe some of these radio hosts are being paid to advertise these products, and so that's why they do promote this Contrail thing? Is that possible?
I have no information on it.
I mean, a lot of radio programs and magazines and things tell people, you know, if you purchase advertising in our magazine or on our radio broadcast, we'll give you a guest appearance and... We'll promote your products, and we'll run a story on you in our magazine and stuff like that. That's how they attract advertising.
Well, it's possible. I do know definitely that that the ringleader, William Thomas, he does claim to sell vitamins, and here's a quote. He says that daily supplementation with XXX has allowed me to so far ward off colds, flus, and chemtrail exposures.
Oh, he's a snake oil man, Paul. My goodness, he's weird. I got that Contrail illness.
Do you have that run down feeling? Does your head go ringing? Are you nervous? Jumping off on the edge? Is it neuritis? Neuralgia? A head shoulder strip? Or maybe it's your sign of draining? Do you have high blood? Very. Or maybe you're a little overweight? You better make some corrections in all this infection. Just spending $1.98. Get rid of that running nose, that nagging cough, that infection, that teeth, and other injuries. Take the wonder drug that cures all your ills. Take Jeremiah Peabody's highly unsaturated, quick dissolving, fast acting, just tasting green and purple peels.
We taped this at William Thomas's country estate.
Guaranteed to be just what you need for quick, fast, speedy relief.
I'm going to use it to wash off my raincoat tonight, my gas mask, when this is all over.
Yeah, you can't forget the gas mask. Yeah. William Thomas says you really need one for ultimate protection.
Of course he's selling.
I've never seen him wearing one, though.
No. Of course, why should he have to wear one? He takes Dr. Peabody's, you know, stuff that, you know, clears up the stuff before it even hits him.
Well,
Jay, how can this stuff be hitting these people? I mean, you see a plane fly over, makes a contrail, 5 minutes later they're dying.
I have literally heard them speak of almost immediate reactions, Bill.
It's incredible.
It's physically impossible.
Yeah. It's more than physically impossible. It's absolutely insane.
Most people don't realize how much air traffic is in the air. I live in a very rural area, but as I'm sitting outside, by the way, and as I'm
well,
as
you
I
better,
sit here,
better watch out because you never know what's going to happen when you're sitting outside.
Well, Bill.
Yeah, I told you. Hey, Jay.
Yes.
Did you get any on you?
No, I've seen four planes, high altitude jets, pass over, which I could not hear them. Of course, they're very high. I couldn't hear them, but I could see the lights.
Yeah. Uh huh.
And most people don't realize how many planes are up there until the day is correct for contrails to form and persist.
At Los Angeles International Airport, on just one runway, a plane lands and takes off every minute. Every minute at Los Angeles International. Now, how many minutes are there in a 24-hour day? And that's just one airport. And that's only one runway at that airport.
Well, Bill, I can tell you exactly how many planes take off in a day, or at least a very close estimate.
Go ahead.
There's roughly 5,000 per day. And the reason why I know that is that it's possible now to have air traffic control radar on your home personal computer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a software which enables you to see the same thing that the air traffic controllers see in their towers.
Yeah.
And you can sit anywhere in the country and watch the planes go from point to point, including almost all the way to Europe, and north and south, Canada, Mexico. You can actually tell their departure, their flight history, their altitude, their speed, their identity, and the whole works. And there's not, as far as I know, there's not one of the contrail people that have dared to test their ideas with this software.
In other words, with that software, you could see a contrail over your town, and you could go in there and find out exactly what plane that was.
I've done it many times during the last spring. I used that software, and it's amazing.
I think it's all over for these people. I've never seen it. That's very interesting. I heard about it when you sent me your email today, but I never knew anything about that before. By my calculations right here, and this is true. I mean, if you call the Los Angeles International Airport, they'll tell you this. And I used to live in the L.A. area, and every once in a while it was fun just to go down there and sit at the end of the runway and watch the planes landing and taking off and on the main runway at LAX. Every 24 hours, 1,440 planes land or take off.
Well, this software is amazing. Now, it has one drawback, and this gives them an out, in a way. They do not track military flights.
Well, of course not. What would be the point of having military flights if everybody knew where they're going and what they're doing? You wouldn't have much of a defense, would you?
Logical claim is that it could be a military plane. They say, well, this software would be of no use to us.
Well, it certainly would. If some people were calling in and said, they're making contrails over my town and we're all sick and we're dying, and you dialed in and found out it was Pan American Airlines Flight 223, British West Indies Airlines Flight 467, and Disneyland, you know, special flight to Disney World in Florida Flight 264, that would probably put a big kink in their thing, wouldn't it?
It's a chance I don't think the true believers are willing to take, Bill.
No.
But if if anybody really wants to know the truth, they can find it. They can tell the military planes.
Where do you get this soft
commercial that way?
Well, sure. You know, if all of the planes are listed and you can find them with the software, and there's one flying over and you can't find it with the software, then that'd be a pretty good bet. It'd be a military plane, wouldn't it?
That's right. And if you see normal planes leaving contrails, you could expect the military would be too.
Sure. In fact, has nothing to do with the plane or the type of the plane or the engine that the plane has. It has to do strictly with atmospheric conditions and in specific temperature, humidity, and how much moisture is in the fuel.
That's right. Just to give a basic idea for people who are just listening to this for the first time, contrails generally form based on temperature. The break point is usually somewhere around -38 degrees centigrade. And it is that cold almost nationwide most of the year, except for the heat of July, August. And that's how they form. Now, for them to persist and hang in the sky, the air has to be moist enough so that the water produced by the engines will not evaporate. So that's just a basic idea of why contrails form and why they might persist and hang in the air.
And plus, now, more than any other time in our history, there are more planes in the skies every hour, every minute of the day than ever before. And every year, there seem to be more. I mean, there certainly is more than, a lot more than there were 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, there were a lot more than there were 10 years before that, because the airline industry has really grown. Airports have just have grown, and they've built new runways, and they handle more planes, and it's just incredible how the airline, and not just airline, but the whole aircraft industry has proliferated over the years.
That's right, Bill. It's on the order of 5-7% every year. And in some areas, of course, more. Take, for instance, a little town close to me. They never had jets in there until last couple of years. So people might not have seen planes flying that route at high altitudes until recently.
Same thing here, Jay, in Sholo. Just in the last 3 or 4 years, they've lengthened the airport in Sholo. They've widened it, and now big airplanes are beginning to come into this little mountain town.
Well, Bill, the fact of increased aviation has brought some new players into the contrails. It's basically a theory which is being used to promote the global warming scenario.
Here we go.
The United Nations this year put out a report on aviation, and they have been doing a lot of research both in Europe and through NASA on the effects of aircraft contrails. And the idea that they have is that these contrails can spread out and form cirrus clouds and cause a slight warming of the Earth at 5-7% increase per year. If it never slowed down, if we never got better engines or better fuels, in 50 years there would be a lot more contrails, a lot, especially over the Northeast or more travel routes.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened is the environmental organizations and crowds have jumped on this.
Jumped on the contrail bandwagon.
Now
we've done the research on that already. We've done the research on global warming. You and I both have done that.
That's right, Bill. To boil it all down to a nutshell, the most accurate temperature measurements of the atmosphere by satellite show no warming over the last 20 years.
That's right.
That's official NASA press release.
Yeah. the only place where they can show that there has been an increase in atmospheric temperature is when they put their temperature measuring stations in large population areas where there's been a lot of asphalt and concrete and freeways and buildings that take in the sun during the day and give the heat off during the night. But in the traditional weather monitoring stations in rural areas, there has been no significant change in temperature in the atmosphere for the entire history of the United States Weather Service.
That's correct. Although I will say it does go up and does go down.
Yes.
And we will have sometimes even a 10 or 20 year stretch. But over the long term, it probably hasn't gone up when you exclude those urban effects.
No, in fact, when you plug them into the to what they call the natural cycles of nature, you can show that over periods of years there are these natural cycles of different weather patterns that if you take one high one compared to a low one, you could say that there's global warming. But if you take the whole significant history of the patterns of the weather, you can't show any such thing at all. It just doesn't exist.
That's correct. When they say it's the warmest year in the last 600 years, you have to ask what caused the global warming 600 years ago.
You also have to ask where did they get the statistics, since there is a specific point in history when they began to take regular measurements, which you could call accurate scientific measurements of temperature and weather and humidity at various places around the world. And I guarantee you nobody was doing that 600 years ago or 500 years ago or 400 years ago or even 300 years ago or even 200 years ago, if you want to know the truth.
Well, anyway, Bill, the idea about climate, what has brought in some very astute people and scientists involved.
You know what? We're out of time. Let's continue this one. You want to come back Monday?
Well, maybe I can, Bill. I didn't realize it was so late.
Okay, let me know. We got to go. Thanks, Jay.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, folks. God bless you all. Good night, Annie, Pooh, Allison. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
It's quitter time.